Isn't this the answer? It's the answer. All right, Daniel chapter 3. Let's take our Bibles there. Boy, I like that singing that song, Dare to Be a Daniel, this morning. I forgot that was in the hymn book. We should have been singing it for a theme song every week for the last, well, this would be the third week. So Daniel chapter 3. That's not right. Daniel chapter 2. You know what I got typed in these notes right here? Daniel chapter 12. And I know that's not right either. But it's Daniel chapter 2. So when you find it, we're going to stand together. We're going to read the first 13 verses. We'll make our way a little bit further in the chapter with that. But I do want to stand and read those verses. Some of you, this is, if you're a new Christian, this is like something perhaps you've never noticed in the Bible or saw before. But we've been studying the life of Daniel as a man and as a great, great man of God. And even that little song we sang that usually the children sing, Dare to Be a Daniel, that really portrays Daniel as a great man of God. So let's read here. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Father, as we come this morning, really, to make a little bit of the sense of this, but also to take the principles and the Bible application from it and apply it to our lives. And I pray that we would all learn to walk the Christian walk, live the Christian life, and be all that you would have us to be for the glory of God. We are your army. We are Christian soldiers in the Lord's army, and we are to stand for truth no matter what, even when it's not popular. And so I pray that we'll get that solidly into our hearts as we go through the life of Daniel, even a few more weeks. But Lord, I just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we've been looking at the life of Daniel, and we've been finding principles from his life to apply to our lives so we can really learn how to live the way God would have us to live. In the first lesson we had from chapter number 1, we found 7 or 8 principles in that lesson. And what you're going to do, and if you missed them, if you weren't here, because not everybody can be here all the time, I understand that, but most people are here pretty consistently. You can always get them, you can download them and listen to them. But there were 7 or 8 principles in that first lesson, and here's what you'll do. You'll see those principles throughout the life of Daniel. Last week, we looked at 4 additional principles, and they were Daniel had good godly friends. excuse me, that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We also noticed he was a man of prayer, and he had a quiet time. He was a man of respect. He knew how to show respect to others. And he stood for right when it was not popular, no matter the consequences. Whatever the consequences may have been, Daniel stood for right. Now, you will see those same principles, those 11 or 12 principles that I've pointed out in the last couple of weeks, repeated over and over in Daniel's life. You know why that is? Daniel was living a life by biblical principles. He made that commitment back in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 where he said, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. So he wasn't going to defile himself. He made that as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old boy. And now as you move along in his life, and he's still not very old here, by the way, you find that Daniel is still keeping those commitments that he made back then. He's living by biblical principles, and it's always right to live by biblical principles, no matter what the consequence. And I've mentioned this, when we learn to live by biblical principles, and I can't explain it all, but just things in life have a way to work out for people that live by biblical principles. Now, in Daniel 2, that we just read, a very strange chapter, the king had a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And the Bible said the dream troubled him. And he called for all of his wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. He called for all these guys and to give them the dream. And what troubled him was he couldn't remember the dream, and he wanted his men to tell them the dream. Now, that's asking for something, isn't it? Nobody can do that. So let me give you this principle. All natural men have limitations. I have limitations. You have limitations. None of us can do everything. God can do anything. But we have limitation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The natural man has limitations. Now, the natural man in 1 Corinthians, by the way, he receives not the things of God. But the request that the king makes here is impossible for natural man. Read verse 10 with me again. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. The fact of the matter is, they were right. The request that the king makes is impossible for natural man to answer. And I'm going to tell you something. Astrology is not the answer. Magicians are not the answer. Sorcery is not the answer. Jesus is the only answer. Now, if they couldn't, and maybe you remember this, I hope you do when you read it, but if they couldn't tell him the dream, okay, I had a dream this morning. You ever get those weird morning dreams? You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and then you go back to sleep. So I woke up about 3 o'clock and I said, I'm not getting out of bed at 3 o'clock. So I went back and I had one of those weird morning dreams. Can anybody tell me what I dreamed? No. But that's what the king is requesting of these guys. And that was a weird morning dream I had this morning. I might add that. But this is like an impossible thing for anybody to do. But here's the consequences if they don't. He said in verse 9, if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream that I shall know, that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Let's skip down to verse 12. And for this cause, the king was angry and very furious because they told him that nobody can do that, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain as well. Now, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not present at this meeting. But it is not long until they find out about it. Now follow along, I'm going to read a little bit more. Verse 14. Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So Daniel is going to get all of the details. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice Daniel is growing, and he's gaining wisdom, and he's growing. And part of learning a little bit about wisdom is this, getting all the details. You know, sometimes people have a tendency to listen to one side of a story, but they don't get all of the details, and they draw a conclusion without really knowing all of the facts. The news does that all the time. Governor Cuomo had this big thing going on in Washington where, you know, made this law, the federal government, the President Trump, who he hates, made this law, and so Cuomo's going to go get it. But why did he make that law? What's the news never reported the other side of the story. And when you find out why the president and his associates made that law, you find out, I guess that was the right thing to do, wasn't it? But the news doesn't cover that part. Well, that's what happens in my life and in your life. Sometimes we're involved in a situation somehow. I don't know how that happens all the time in your life, but I know how it happens in mine. But you end up with one side of the story. Now, let me give you a little bit of wisdom. Remember, there are probably three sides to every story. This one's, and then the truth somewhere. But Daniel's going to get all of the details. Now, Daniel is growing. Let me ask you a question. Are you growing in the Lord? In what areas in your life right now are you growing in the Lord? If you're not growing in the Lord, why not? Does God want you to grow? Is it God's will that I grow? Is it God's will that you grow in the Lord and in love and the Father? What Peter said, grow in grace and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Aren't we supposed to do that? So why aren't you doing it? Why, if you're not, why aren't you? If I'm not, why aren't I? Now listen, we need to make positive decisions that will change our life to be more like Jesus. That's what Daniel is doing. It started when he was a teenager, but it continues in his life. And the fact of the matter is some people aren't growing. They're not growing because they continue to make wrong choice after wrong choice. They don't even do what I call the five basic things of Christianity. They're not consistently in church where you hear the Word of God. They don't read their Bible. They don't have a prayer life. These are just I mentioned this last week, Christianity 101 things. They never want to give a dime to the ministry, and they never want to share their faith with anybody. And for the life of me, I don't understand that. But that will hinder you from growing. So as Daniel grows up, and as he gets older and he's gaining wisdom, he's growing spiritually, and I hope you are not content to stay where you are spiritually. I hope that it is your desire to grow in the Lord and go forward for the Lord. And as he's learning these principles and these truths, you know what he's also doing? He's applying him to his own life. He's applying them to his own life, rather. It ought not to be that you come to church on Sunday and you hear the Bible and then you go out and you forgot everything you learned, and then your life never grows. I listened to Aaron Lutzer preach a sermon this morning. That's not his first name. Well, that's it, Erwin. Lutzer coming in this morning, and he preached a sermon, and he was talking about the church. And he said, people say I don't want to go to church because there's too many hypocrites there. And then he made this, did you hear it? Then he made this statement. He said, I can't think of a better place for the hypocrites to be than in the church. Maybe they'll get converted there. Maybe they'll get their life right with God there. I said, boy, that's a really good response. I'm going to use that. Isn't that? Are there hypocrites in the church? Of course there are. By the way, there's probably a little bit of hypocrisy in every single one of us that's even here this morning, and later on I'll say the same thing, okay? But the truth is that we got to be growing in the Lord. So he's growing. Daniel's growing. He's not content. I hope you're not. He's learning. He's applying the things he learns, and Daniel's gaining wisdom. He's making good choices. He's living by biblical principles. Now, last week we mentioned he was a man of prayer. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall be given him. James 3 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So Daniel hears about this bad situation. And Daniel's life is going to be, you know, his neck is on the line, so to speak, as well. And here's what Daniel did. He thought he did not explode. You know, some people, when a bad situation comes into their life, they explode. He got all the facts from Arioch, and Daniel went to see the king. Now, let me give you a couple of things here, a couple more principles with this. Look at verse 16. Then Daniel went in, and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. The first thing Daniel did was this. He acted with courage. Now, he himself wasn't at the meeting, but he got all the facts, and now he's going to go in and stand before the king. You know, it takes courage for somebody to do that. Esther did that, if you read the book of Esther, and Esther was the queen, but even the wife of the king, and she still had to have permission to go in to stand before the king. She couldn't just walk in. But she said, I'll go in. And she did. She asked everybody to pray for her first, if you know the story. But then he did something at the end of verse 16. Here's the second principle there. He acted with faith. He realized, Daniel knew something. I'm going to go stand before the king. But he knew this, God's going to be with me. Daniel always knew that God was with him because Daniel was a person who had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Well, the king agreed to see him. And so he went in. The king's heart seemed to soften when he saw Daniel, probably because Daniel spoke softly. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And so Daniel probably went and talked softly. The Bible also says in Proverbs 16, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We are very confident, I think, that we are to please God first. And when we do that, even our enemies, although they may not like our position and they may not agree with us, they will respect us enough to have peace with us. If people get uneasy around you, they can probably detect the bad spirit in you. And you may come across as hard or prideful or even as attacking. Daniel, as he goes before the king, he doesn't come across as any of those ways. So an awful lot of what will depend on what Daniel does here in the next few hours. And he takes this time. By the way, the Bible does say we're to redeem the time. Not only was his life at stake, the life of his three friends are at stake, and all the wise men of Babylon, their lives as well. And so Daniel's like, okay, I don't have a lot of time, but I've got some time. So here's something else. There is such a thing as human responsibility. You do have a responsibility to your fellow men. Remember when Cain slew Abel? And God said, asked Cain a question, and Cain answered this, am I my brother's keeper? And you know what the right answer to that is? Yes. We are each other's keepers. We are our brother's keeper. Well, anyway, Daniel realized all of this, and so he's going to take his own personal responsibility to his fellow brethren. And what you do with your life does make a difference. And one of the things, and one of the principles that people need to realize is the flippant attitude that so many Christians have about, I just live any way I want to live. Do you really think that's what God wants for you? It's not what God wants for you. It's like, whatever, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. That's not necessarily true. I mean, God can work around all of your nonsense. I know that. And God is sovereign. I understand all of that. But God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and God has a will for all of us. In 1 Corinthians, it said, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye are of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, that's the blood of Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to glorify God in everything. So you have influence on people that I or nobody else here has influence on, and what you do does make a difference, and how you speak, all of that makes a difference. So it's time that believers started redeeming the time and using it sensibly for God, and because I think we waste too much time. What do we waste too much time on? Entertainment. Some people are addicted to video games. Some people are addicted to their computers. And all of these things and social media, the people get addicted to that stuff. And it's an unbelievable thing. You need to realize that you have a responsibility to their fellow men and start living like that and take your responsibility seriously. I give this piece of, it's a thing I got from Neil Anderson, and it's entitled, Who I Am in Christ. And you can buy one, I've seen them, but they're not very good. They're nowhere near as good as Mr. Anderson's. It's got several things, every book of the New Testament, Who I Am in Christ in it. And you know who you are in Christ if you're a saved person? You're a child of God. And you ought to act like it and live like it and make the decisions in your life that reflect that you are a child of God. good, godly, wise decision. So Daniel took some time, thought about it, didn't explode, looked the situation over, and made some good, godly decision. He acted in courage, and he acted in faith. Now, some people get mad over the littlest things, but the fact of the matter is Daniel didn't operate that way. The king agreed, and a lot's going to depend on Daniel, and he took his responsibility seriously. So Daniel needed an answer. He took a little time, but he didn't have a lot of time. He needed an answer, and he needed an answer now. Sometimes you need an answer, and you need an answer now, and you've got to make a decision now. Now, what did Daniel, a wise man, do to get the answer? Go down to verse 17. And as these four children, that's the wrong chapter, verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Let me pause for just a second. Remember last week I said Daniel had good godly friends? Well, he went to his good godly friends who were his prayer partners. Then he said in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. You know what they said? Daniel says, look, guys, we need to pray. And we need to pray now because we don't have a lot of time. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We need to pray. We need to get an answer from God. And we need to get it now because if not, we're all going to perish. So he went to his good godly friends and they had a prayer meeting. Rick, it was a blessing Tuesday night when you shared with us that you and Joe were prayer partners. You ought to have people that you trust, good godly friends that you trust and you can pray with or ask prayer for. They ask God to reveal the secret. Only God could answer this. Again, we see faith in action. Man is limited, I know that, but God is not limited, for with God all things are possible. So they went to God in prayer because they believe that prayer works. That's another place for a good question. Do you believe that prayer works? I mean, do you believe that when you cry out to God, God hears and answers prayer? I do. I pray in faith. I want you to notice something here in verse 19 as well. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So they ask God, and God answers. They asked God to reveal the secret. Only God can do that. They went to God in prayer, and God answered that prayer. But do you notice in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel didn't seem to be all worried about this thing. You know, the Bible, God doesn't want you to be worried about everything. The Bible says in Philippians 4 that we're to be careful for nothing. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. We shouldn't worry. Daniel's not worried about this. You go to God and pray, and you trust him to answer the prayer, and listen, you accept the answer. Well, if I go to God in prayer, I'm worried because what if God doesn't answer it exactly the way I want it? Maybe God has a different answer that's the right answer that you don't know about. Sometimes that happens. Now, I want to insert something here in this text. Visions, like Daniel has here, they're not for, Daniel didn't have the vision. Daniel had the ability to interpret the dream and tell what the dream was and everything. But let me take a moment and insert this. Visions are not for today. As far as dreams and all of these type of things like going on here, you are not a prophet. I am not a prophet like Daniel is a prophet. This will be a parenthetical portion, all right? Extra revelatory gifts do not exist today. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease, and whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We need a vision. I have a vision for the church. I have a goal to work toward. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But God doesn't use those to show us new truth. The signs and wonders movement of today in many churches is full of evil spirits. There were three times, I've mentioned this before, but I mention it quite often. There were three times historically when God used these type of things. When were they? You should have these memorized. Moses and Joshua. Obviously, there was miracles in Moses. And by the way, go before Moses in your Bible, which would be all the book of Genesis, and And then the early chapters in Exodus, when Moses was a boy still. And find me a whole bunch of miracles and signs and wonders and all of that. They're not there. After Joshua. Okay, so I got to tell you what came into my mind. She's thinking, she's learning how to be a woman who can talk and talk and talk. But anyway, I won't say that. They start young, man. Anyway, I forgot what I was saying. So you go all the way up to Moses, and you don't find any miracles. Then after Joshua, read all of the rest of the Old Testament, and you don't find any miracles till when? Elijah and Elisha. Drop off at Elijah and Elisha, and go all the way through the rest of the prophets, and all the way through to the end of the Old Testament, which you got 400 silent years after that as well, and you don't find any more miracles until you come to Jesus and the apostles. Jesus did more miracles than anybody. The apostles was a time of miracles as well. All three of those things have a few major things in common. First of all, the miraculous signs and wonder times were for about a short season. And God, the second thing God was doing was giving out revelation. Daniel was an Old Testament prophet. But we don't have Old Testament prophets like that today. Let me turn over to Revelation chapter 22 just for a moment. What's the very last chapter in the Bible? But it says in verses 18 and 19, "For I testify unto every one that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book." We don't need extra revelatory gifts to get more to the Word of God than what we already have. We've got a complete Bible. A New Testament prophet does not foretell new truth. What is his task? It's to foretell the truth that is already written in the Word of God. The words he proclaims, I'm having a hard time getting these pages separated. The words he proclaims are already revealed truth, and it's not a source of new revelation. Let me read you one other verse. You can turn there if you want with me. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. So here is part of the goal of a preacher or a pastor in the church age. "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men for three reasons, to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort." That's the purpose of the preacher. It is not to get extra revelatory gifts, but it is to edify, it is to exhort, and it is to comfort. Edify is to build up, to teach, and to persuade, so he speaks with some kind of conviction. It has to do with the promotion of spiritual growth, what this whole series is going to be about, in people's lives, to edify, to build up. Exhortation is encouragement, to admonish or to urge somebody to pursue some course of conduct, to do something that they've not done. But let me exhort you. So last week, for instance, that was an exhortation message. Let me exhort you to have a quiet time. Let me exhort you to read your Bible. Let me exhort you to have a prayer life. Let me exhort you to do the things that God wants you to do. And then the third thing there that's mentioned is comfort. And that has to do with a trial experience. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, tells us to comfort people, as we sang about a couple of songs this morning, because Jesus is coming. Now, I know the world's a mess right now, but I also know that Jesus is coming. But the need for dreams and visions like you're reading about and Daniel's working with here, that does not exist today. We trust God by faith, and we have a completed Bible, and we praise to God, praise the Lord for that. So I do not believe that we need extra revelatory gifts or extra revelation. I've got the Word of God, and we hang our hats on the Word of God. Now let me get back to what I was saying about Daniel. Daniel had good godly friends. And so they go in and they have themselves a prayer meeting. And they believed that prayer works. He didn't seem all worried. He didn't seem all worked up about it. And I already read verse 19, but guess what happened? "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." Prayer did work. Daniel said, "Guys, let's pray." They prayed and God answered. And then Daniel did something else that we should all do. Let me continue to read. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." You know what he did? He gave God all the credit and all the glory, and he praised his name. When you pray, there ought to be some time in there for praise and worship and giving thanks and glory to the Lord. It ought not to be a time where you just say, "Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, Lord, I need the other thing." But it ought to be a time when you recognize who God is, what God has done for you, and you thank him for all of those things. What is involved in your prayer life? Does God only hear from you when you have a need? Or is it something that's, you know, fairly consistent in your life? I say this kind of jokingly, but not totally jokingly. It seems like sometimes God only hears from some people when they're in a crisis and they need something from God, and that's the only time that God cries out to them. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Let me ask you again, do you really believe that prayer works? In John 15, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. You need God." He said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now last week and the previous week, we saw some principles in Daniel's life. And now we're going to start in chapter 3, and we're going to go through the next 3 or 4 chapters, and we will see them lived out in his life. And you know what that is? That's Christianity. That's all it is. It's you get saved, you've come to the place in your life where you've accepted Jesus' payment for your sin debt, you accept him, you put your faith in him, you recognize your sinful condition, and you begin to grow, and you begin to live the Christian life. And all Daniel is doing is living the Christian what ought to be the normal Christian life. He's learning biblical principles and biblical principles, and he's taking those principles and he's applying them to his own life, and we watch them as they play out in his life. And for the next 3 chapters or so, you will see all of these things continue to play out in Daniel's life all the time. He's learning and walking and growing in grace, and he's learning how to follow the Lord. That's what God wants from me. That's what God wants for every one of you that names Jesus as your Savior. That's what it is. It's just Christianity. Living a Christian life. I probably shouldn't need to say this, but I will. You do know that God wants us to be the same in here as we are out there, right? I used the word hypocrite earlier. Yeah, I do think this is the best place for a hypocrite to be. However, I don't think God wants anybody to stay a hypocrite. Do you? I don't think so. Now, that's what's going on. He gave God all the credit. Let me read just a couple more verses. Verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon the bed are these." And he goes on and he's going to interpret this dream. Verse 30. "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have any more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mayest know the thoughts of thy heart." Now this dream will come up again later in the book of Daniel when Daniel gets into all of his prophecies. But that wasn't my purpose this morning, but to interpret the prophecies of it. But Daniel prayed and God answers. And he just praises the Lord and give God all the credit. And when we pray, there ought to be a time of praise and worship all the time. Now, we're watching these principles play out. Did you notice how often Daniel talked about God to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was an idol worshiper? He talks like he has a real relationship with the Lord. You know why? You do know what? Because he does. He does have a real relationship with the Lord. I remember opening the Senate in New York, the state capitol down there one day in prayer. They invited me down and they invited me to open in prayer. I was telling you the other night, Matt, they told me, don't pray more than 3 minutes. That's your limit. Now, it used to be when our nation went to prayer, they'd spend hours in prayer. Now we got it. You know, don't go over. Don't. We don't want too much of this prayer stuff. So anyway, but one of the legislators told Brother Stiles. He says, you know, Tom. He says, these guys you bring down and they pray. They act like they're really talking to God. You know why? We really believe we are. I mean, that was like, okay, that would kind of blew me. I don't know what he thought of when he thought about prayer, and I don't even know who the senator was, but that's what we believe. But Daniel is talking to God and talking about God like he has a real relationship with God, because he does. Here's another question for you. How is your relationship with the Lord? I mean, do you really have one? Close, intimate fellowship with the Lord, to where you can pray, you're driving down the road, something pops in your mind, you're talking to the Lord about it. I mean, how is it? He talks like he knows him personally, because he does. And he talks to him like he has the answers to his questions, because God does have the answer to his questions. Let me go back to one of the first things I said. I have limitations. I don't have everybody's answers for everything. You have limitations and you don't have the answer for everything, but God does have the answer for everything. I don't, you don't, but God does. You should learn to turn to God. Do you know God like that? Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his suffering. That's how Paul knew God. And when Paul said that I might know him, you know Paul the apostle? If he said that I might know him, we probably ought to say, God, I need to know you better than I do. If Paul had to say it, then I need to say it. But then the worry is gone. He said in Philippians, be careful for nothing. But then all of a sudden the peace comes in, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now let me ask you a few questions, and I'm going to be finished early today. Do you believe in prayer, and do you have a relationship with God like that? I mean, this ought to be normal Christianity. What it ought to be. Do you have it like that? Do you pray to God with complete confidence that God can answer your prayer? Do you pray like that? Do you believe God answers prayer? The great man that we sang about and that we've looked at for the last 3 weeks now, Daniel did. And do you know him like Daniel? And what was that song? Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone if you have to, but stand alone. Father in heaven, we're just watching a man's life in a little character study here that shows us how to live a, what ought to be, a normal Christian life. Now, we don't get the visions of dreams and such like Daniel had. We can't tell people what their dreams are. We can't interpret those dreams. But you did give us a completed word, and we're thankful for the word of God. And the basic things of Christianity, they work. When we live by biblical principles, things in life have a way to work out. You just take things and all things work together for good to them that love God, your word tells us. Now, if there's someone here that really is not even sure what it means to have a relationship with God, especially like this great man of God, Daniel, had, I pray the Spirit of God speaks to their hearts and draws them unto you. But I also pray that every believer here would examine their life. How is their life? How godly is it? How Christian is it? Or is it their one way here and another way outside of here? Lord, I know it's your will that we all live a godly life. I know it is. I think everybody here knows it is. And I pray that you would so speak to our hearts and we'd be under such conviction that we would have a passion and a desire to follow after God, to walk after God, to be all that God would have us to be. Work in our hearts, work in our lives. Change us and conform us to be more like the Master. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, Faith is going to play. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, but you'd like to have one, you come, and someone will take a Bible and introduce you how you can have Christ as Savior and begin a walk with the Lord and learn how to have a relationship with the Lord. But for every Christian here, I want to mention to you, this ought to be normal. This ought to be our normal Christian life. Praising God, talking about God to others, praying, reading our Bible, just living out these principles as we learn them, and we call it growing in grace, growing in the Lord. And it ought to be true for me, and it ought to be true for everybody. So if you need to talk to the Lord about that, you spend a few minutes talking to the Lord about that. And if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, like a real relationship like Daniel, you come. Father, I thank you for good examples like Daniel, the great man of God that he was, for us to follow. And Lord, he lived in difficult times, as we saw in our first lesson. He's actually a captive in the Babylonian captivity at this time. Yet he still lives right, still does the right thing, hasn't forgotten you, hasn't got bitter at you, hasn't got mad at you. He just keeps on doing right. May that be true of all of us. May we learn to live out our Christian life in the everyday affairs of our lives. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in the work that you have begun. We know that you will complete it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll get ready for some.